Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza. I'm here with Matt Harmon and producer Brad, and we are in our pod studio, which Harmon has an adorable name for, in Los Angeles.
It feels good to be back.
Does it?
It feels good to be back.
I think so too. How's your liver?
It's recovering. I haven't drank any alcohol since Saturday, so that's been nice. Slowly but steadily feeling more like myself after what was an exhausting Nashville trip for not only my liver, but my waistline for sure. Great also, town, but a lot of sins.
I don't understand why you can't. I lost weight in Nashville.
Yeah, that's. Can I say bullshit right off the top? Because that's bullshit. I don't like that.
You know what the key is? The key is walking everywhere instead
of
lifting.
That was helpful. That was helpful, yeah.
I was carrying many tripods and gear everywhere.
Producer Brett was like a Sherpa through the streets of downtown Nashville. It was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's off to Brett.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You crushed it.
I had like a Pelican case, but on a Lime scooter as well.
Not really. I never got to do a scooter. I desperately wanted to scoot and... Never worked out for me.
Yeah, I had to carry gear. I was a Lyft XL. The app was just, I opened it up and it was like, Lyft XL again? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
It was a good time, though. We had two good podcasts with the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast.
Guys.
Therese Paler, Charles
Robinson. Senior NFL insider. Therese Paler and senior NFL insider Charles Robinson. That was one thing that stuck out to me right away.
To get on your radar?
When we got with those guys, it's like, oh, wow, they go like full title when it's just, it's Liz and Harmon. Like, well, here we go.
But it was a good time. And a lot of things happened at the draft. A lot has occurred since the draft. I want to talk about Josh Rosen and the Dolphins.
All right.
Because I don't know, Harmon, if this ever happens to you, but sometimes when you're like, deep in your research. And I should also mention that part of the reason I was doing this research was because me and Andy Behrens and Brad Evans are rolling out a team preview. Now, calm down. Yes, you get to have a summer, but this is all in advance of our draft kit, which will be fully assembled come August. So we are starting with the AFC East. This article about Miami and fantasy impact/implications within the team has been published. You go to Yahoo Sports and find it, or Yahoo Fantasy. Where do we find this stuff? The website.
YahooSports.com, the fantasy tab. Or can you just type in YahooFantasy.com? Let's find out.
Everyone has Google. Just Google it.
Yeah, or go to my social, @LizLoza_FF. I've posted links there. You can go to my Instagram as well. Anyway.
Sports.Yahoo.com/fantasy.
So sometimes when you're... And this time of year is really lovely because you can like court players, right? It's not like speed dating in fantasy season. Like, great, what's your credit score? Do you have any priors? That's fantastic. You're starting. This is a like, hey, tell me about your mom. Are you a cat person or a dog person? You can get to know potential prospects. And so I was deep into my research and I caught some feelings for Josh Rosen. And the Dolphins, I definitely, like, had some palpitations, not just because Josh Rosen was an absolute class act in his exit from Arizona, but I thought about how in February, everybody was talking about this team, quote, organically tanking, right? Like, that was the narrative.
Everybody or someone who co-hosts this podcast?
No, but there was an article from the Orlando Sentinel that Matt referenced. And by the way, that like the whole of NFL media, in his defense, referenced about tanking for Tua. And that might have been the case. I still never have bought into it. I don't think like people coming off, two coaches coming off of a Patriots dynasty and coaching tree are certainly going to be like, yeah, you know what? We're great at losing.
Yeah.
So I'm... Let me have my moment with Josh.
I'm sorry. I'll wait.
And so then, however, this gift occurred, right? Like during the draft, they got the 10th overall pick in the 2018 draft now as their quarterback for basically pennies on a dollar. It's miraculous. It's unprecedented. And who do they have on staff? They've got Jim Caldwell as the assistant head coach, also the quarterback's coach. He has done some work elevating Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford. Those are two quarterbacks who have some perhaps likability issues. So there's some overlap there. Chad O'Shea is the OC. He's won three Super Bowls with New England. And here's a quote that I got real excited about. And this is a quote from February. When asked about his offensive approach slash scheme. He said, it's our job as a coaching staff to identify what are the skill sets of the players and how we can utilize those skill sets to be a productive offense. That's why we don't just talk about a specific scheme. We talk about being multiple. We talk about being able to adjust, which is antithetical to anything Crazy Eyes Gase ever does. I love it. I don't think that Josh Rosen is going to be like a top 25 fantasy quarterback this year. He doesn't have the pieces around him there, but he is going to be the starter and he is building towards the future. And I'm telling you, this Dolphins team is a different team. Stop laughing at me. I'm all in.
I mean, wow. Like Liz Loza's turn to a Dolphins fan was not expected here in the year 2019. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, though.
Well, what's wrong with Rosen? His mechanics aren't that bad. He's got a hero arm. Let me tell you.
Let me know when you need me for this podcast.
I think you have enough of your own podcasts. He now has a big and hyper athletic tight end in Mike Gesicki, who can be a security blanket. By the way, not only is Gesicki a 97th percentile spark athlete, but last year horribly misused, 32 targets. 23 of which, according to Sports
Info Solutions.
Yes, thank you. 32 targets, 23 of those were catchable. He caught 22 of the catchable targets. That's a nice security blanket. That's what Rosen needs. He didn't have an athletic tight end in Ricky Sass, RSJ. Ricky Seals-Jones. Yeah. All right, now go ahead.
Well, and it's a good point about Gesicki, too, because last year I thought watching him at Penn State, he was a guy who would go down the seams and be like a vertical threat tight end. He was too frequently used like on crossers, sure, whatever, like go through the middle of the field and get yards after the catch. That's not his game. They also have Dwayne Allen, too, who we had on Bet the Realm a while ago. And to validate your point as well, Liz, like when I brought up the tanking thing with him, he's like, oh, you know, no way. Like, I'm going out there balls to the walls, you know, right, to win games. So it is an interesting offense with pieces like Albert Wilson. You know, I always have a fire in my heart for that guy. I love Kenny Stills. Yeah, Devontae Parker still kicking around there. They have Kalen Ballage, Kenyon Drake in the backfield. There is some interesting young pieces on the team. The problem with Rosen, though, and the problem with him as a Dolphin is that I still think he is very much like we've been talking about with Dwayne Haskins, an inside of structure only quarterback. And they probably have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
I won't dispute that. But then why are we overranking Haskins, especially when, to the same point, Jason LaCanfora published an article for CBS. I don't mind shouting out the competitor when they do awesome stuff, where he spoke to talent evaluators that he was friends with who weren't in the market for a quarterback, and asked them to rate Rosen in terms of the 2019 class. And they all drafted him either one or two ahead or behind Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So we're all hot and bothered for Dwayne Haskins because he's staying local and connecting with Terry McLaurin and every other freaking narrative that you can put forward, when Josh Rosen has a giant chip on his shoulder, is a good kid, and cares about the damn environment.
Well, that's a big problem, right? The last one. Big environmentalist. That's
he recycles, heaven forbid.
No, I mean, I'm not going to dispute anything you're saying.
Good.
I still think that there is a chance that the Dolphins are in the quarterback market again this year, that they're picking one or two.
That's my fear for this team. The best case scenario is the worst case scenario for the Dolphins, which is another season of 6-10, 7-9.
Yeah, that's what they don't want.
And we know for a fact, we know this team is organically tanking. This team wants a top two pick next year. How do we know that?
But they they can still earn a top two pick, have faith in their quarterback who potentially, like, I don't know, gets hurt midseason and then comes back for the last 4 weeks like Sam Darnold and lights it up. And then they can gather more picks and moneyball this and fix their O-line and give it a goddamn identity.
Well, that's why this is a great move, even if it turns out that Josh Rosen.
A lot of bleeps, I'm sorry.
I love it. This is great. I think that this is a great move for all of those reasons, because no matter what, I mean, there's a couple scenarios where Rosen can get banged in this, but there's almost no way that the Dolphins can get banged in this, which is either Rosen goes out there and proves he's their quarterback for the future going forward. And I guess still in that scenario, they end up with a mid first round pick as opposed to a top two or three pick. But who cares? The problem is solved in terms of the quarterback, which is great for them. There's also a scenario where Rosen goes out and he's not that good, and they just take a quarterback, one or two in the draft next year, and then Rosen's kind of banged in that situation, but it is what it is.
Or he has an opportunity to beat that person out.
Right. I just, like I said, it's a great move for the Dolphins because no matter what, it's going to work out for them, but there are ways it cannot work out for Rosen.
Well, Matt Silverlinings Harmon, I guess back home in Los Angeles, the tables are turned and I'm now the optimist.
I actually have a funny story on that. So I was tweeting with one of my online Twitter friends, and I said something about like, well, to be like, I'm rebranding to a Silver Linings guy. So like in this way, he could still become a good route runner. We're talking about a player or whatever. And he goes, what are you talking about? You've always been a Silver Linings guy. What rebrand? I was like, oh, right. I forgot I'm talking to somebody who only knows me online.
Not as a
brooding
gaslighter of NFL media.
I just fear for my young tribesman brother that he's going to be in a situation extremely similar to the situation he was this February, March, and April.
That's
where it's just like, the Dolphins have the second pick. Are they going to take Tua or Herbert? Who are they going to trade Rosen to? Because it's a foregone conclusion that the Dolphins are going to be drafting a top tier, top two quarterback.
I don't know. If he wins over that fan base, which I think he's on his way to doing, he's going to have to be real bad. And part of this, all this whole investigation came out of the, like, who's going to be the week one starter? Birthday cake lover or this guy? And like, the answer is give me the 22-year-old, 23-year-old and not Fitzmagic. And so whoever it was, by the way, bro, who came at me about like, whoa, look at last year what Fitzmagic did. Do you want to talk about him having Todd Monken and the best goddamn quartet of receivers in the game? That doesn't exist in Miami. Like, Fitzpatrick is only, he's the streakiest quarterback in the damn league, and he's only elevated by the talent around him, which is not this comp.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why
I'm tired now, guys. Yeah. I don't know. That was it for me.
All right. Well, this has been a short podcast. Everyone, thank you for coming in.
Do we have anything else on Rosen? I
think you have said it all. Like, I love on the outline. It was perfect. It was just Josh Rosen was traded to the Dolphins. Liz has thoughts.
Do you have any thoughts on any particular player? Should we move on?
I think
we
should
move on.
Do you
have any grievances to air about?
No grievances to air.
So then let's talk about Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, let's do it.
Isaiah Crowell, Dunzo.
Quick, cup
ended
of coffee.
Before it began.
Doug Martin is back.
Chris Warren, by the way, he kind of looked good in the preseason last year. I wish they'd give him a shot, but I don't think that's necessarily going to happen when they draft Josh Jacobs in the first round. A lot of people, it's kind of a chalk pick. A lot of people projected he'd land in Oakland. He is ranked according to the Yahoo consensus, which Matt does not partake in because he got a better contract than the rest of us. But he is the RB18. That's around pick 39 overall. I have him ranked RB15, which is a little bit aggressive. I do understand why maybe someone's not as bullish on him, but I'm going to ask you first, Matt. We talked about depth. At the running back position and how 15 is, or even 19 or 20 is kind of tough. So
way too much for me. Running back 18, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, one, we don't know if this is going to be a good offense. I think it has a shot to be because they have good receiving pieces. They still have some quality players on the offensive line, even though
it's a mystery, that line.
Even though, you know, like, Gruden's already getting cranky about the left guard position. He's the right guard, right? And they traded Kelechi Osemele,
right?
And he was the left guard. Whatever. I don't know. They've got a guard spot that they've got an issue with.
I think they're going to try to.
They might sign Richie Incognito. That was on. And this is the funny thing about the Raiders, right? Like, they in the draft, they go for these character guys, right? You know, that was the Cleveland Farrell selling point, was he's a character guy. Josh Jacobs, a character guy.
Well, that's a Mayock move.
And then it's like, all right, Gruden comes in like, thanks, Mike. Dress over. This is my time to shine. We're going to bring in Antonio Brown. We're going to bring in Richie Incognito. Let's really mix it up. But to me, the running back position, there's just way too much depth at this point.
But okay, so here's the problem with Jacobs and why I think people aren't as high on him. he only averaged 8 carries per game in 2018. The knock against him, right, was he's never been like an RB1. Can he do it? We don't know. In fact, in his 3-year college career at Alabama, he only managed 20 attempts one time in 3 years. But other side of that coin, obviously, is fresh legs.
We've never seen a back with this limited of a workload resume and this uninspiring of an athletic profile come in and be a first-round pick and then just, like, walk right into workhorse mode. You can go to Alvin Kamara as a guy who didn't have a long college resume, but he was very athletic, at least from a combine perspective. I like Josh Jacobs as a player. I'm just saying right now, if you're looking at, like, early drafts, you know, running back 17 to 21, just run through the list.
Wait, I was going to give you the names.
Okay, go. No, you go.
All right.
Ahead.
Will you take him ahead of Sony Michel?
No.
So even with Damian Harris there in New England, you're still thinking, okay.
I'm still thinking Michelle, but not loving Michelle either.
Leonard Fournette.
No.
You're going to take Leonard Fournette ahead of Josh Jacobs.
I mean, I'm hoping I don't ever have to take
Leonard
Fournette.
Well, this is the round, but this is like the area that they're all going. I mean, these are the names. You want to play the name game, friend? Let's play it. What about Derrick Henry?
Henry.
Okay, but do you have a crush on him?
I do have a crush on him. I also think he has a lot of touchdown potential. I don't think Jacobs has high touchdown potential.
He's in a platoon. Derrick Henry? A theoretical platoon.
Yes.
Damian Williams?
No. Definitely give me Damian Williams over him.
Marlon Mack?
Give me Marlon Mack.
Okay. So then you are truly below, if who was the only, Leonard Fournette was the only one.
Yeah, only because like I don't think there's any scenario where I want to draft Leonard Fournette. In like the third round.
So then you are putting him in the RB20 and beyond tier.
Yes.
All right. I still have him RB15, but
I'm putting him with names like Darius Geis, Kenyon Drake, Tevin Coleman.
Wow, but don't you think he's going to see something like 17 touches a game?
I think if we get to the point in the summer where we have a little bit more clarity on the situation, then yeah. But I also wonder about his receiving work too, because like, don't forget, Jalen Richard caught a lot of passes last year, and I think he could still have a role. He's still on the team.
I mean, that's fair, but then we talk about the predictability issues.
Yeah. So no, I agree with you, but I'm just saying if the Raiders are down in games and they're in clearly already predictable pass game situations, we could see Richard out there as a guy who catches 70 to 80 balls, and then like he did last year. And then that doesn't leave much for Josh Jacobs.
So then the answer to the question is, from both of us, if the RB18 spot is where you're finding Josh Jacobs, and acknowledging that this is May, that is not a value, in fact.
No.
I would take him at RB15, so it's about the same spot. Matt would take him after RB20. So there you go. You wanted to talk about the Cowboys. I don't really care about them.
You don't want to call. All right. Well, I mean, I just think it's interesting. They've just started extension talks with. We talked about this earlier.
You love extension talks, man.
I do love a good extension talk.
Yes.
I think it's interesting to just because this team, especially, we talked about this earlier in the offseason, but they have a lot of work to do when it comes to contract extensions. They got the DeMarcus Lawrence deal done. Great. Now they have to get done Zeke. They have to get done Dak, and they have to get done Amari Cooper. And I thought it was interesting, you know, obviously the Dak contract is going to get the most plug in terms of media. And, you know, he's probably going to get $30+ million a year. Like, that's what's going to happen. And then they said that Amari Cooper's first ask was shockingly high. And they also recognize that the floor for that is $16 million. They know they're not getting it less than $16 million per year. Mm-hmm. But I wonder what he asked for that was – quote-unquote, shockingly
AB
high.
AB is getting what per year?
He's getting like over around 20 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say over 19.8. But so,
I'm not paying Amari Cooper that money.
Well, so then what is shockingly high? Because those have to be the, if 16 is the floor and AB is
he
the
probably
ceiling.
Asked for,
it's
he
16.7 on average for Antonio Brown.
He probably asked for, what about Odell Beckham? He's making like $18 million per year, I think.
Wait, AB is 16.7 per year on average, I see.
Anyways, we'll I'm not, off. there's no way that if Amari Cooper wants to be the highest paid receiver in the league, I don't think he sticks around Dallas because they have all these other big contracts to get done. They're definitely giving Zeke a like laughably high contract.
Well, so that's what our colleague Tank Williams tweeted, which I wanted to bring up here. By the way, you can follow Tank on Twitter at TankWilliams13. He said, and I quote, "Zeke is the juice that makes the off get loose." That means offense. "But they worried about signing Dak and Amari. If I'm Zeke, I need to get my bag immediately, especially the way teams have approached running back deals lately. Hashtag never forget. Hashtag Dallas Cowboys." This is a very fair point. By the way, I could not say it as well as Tank did.
you didn't, you know, note that emojis were used, like emoji with the expressionless face, you know.
Those emojis are on Harmon's radar. Like, you're like not a, an emoji friendly human.
No, I am. Some, no, I wasn't. It wasn't a negative at all.
I have to agree here that both you and Tank are right, and that Zeke is going to get paid way more than he probably should. And the Rams are going to say, I told you so.
Yeah, it's rough. I think for his sake, he would want to get the deal done quickly. And I just want to see how this plays out, because Amari Cooper is a fascinating guy to talk about this year. Everybody's very excited going into this season because, you know, we remember the big highlight reel moments of him as a Dallas Cowboy. I think after going back and charting him for reception perception, not only was he used well in Dallas, I thought he was used well in Oakland this year. You know, as a guy finally was, they didn't just roll him out at X receiver and take the top corner and face press coverage on, you know, 40% of your snaps or whatever, get double teamed a lot. That didn't happen in either place. And still, nevertheless, and I think people forget about this in Dallas, he was still a very volatile player week to week. And that might happen naturally because of the offense, but I still just think he's an inconsistent up and down player. So he's going to be a fun one to debate this summer leading into fantasy drafts. And I think the fact that there's this contract thing laying out in the air adds another layer to it.
Right now, I mean, he's a top 12 fantasy receiver. Would you say? He is the consensus Yahoo 12.
He's the consensus. See, this, I'm so out of tune with all these rankings. I struggle to even
Here
find.
Here you go. Here, I'll make it easy for you.
Please do.
Do you prefer T.Y. or Amari?
T.Y.
Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen, for sure.
Okay, that's interesting. Stephon.
The best route runner in the NFL, Stephon Diggs? Yes.
Okay. Well, then you don't believe that Amari Cooper is a top 12 receiver.
How about this? I'm looking just on Fantasy Football Calculator right now, ADP, because, you know, but it's very early. Keep that in mind. What about AJ Green or Amari Cooper? I think Green's got a higher ceiling. I think Green.
I have them ranked 11 and 12.
Okay.
So Green at 11 and Cooper at 12.
What about Keenan Allen?
I have Keenan Allen ranked at 10.
Cool. All right.
So
I just those. A lot of these guys in this tier, I'm more interested in them than Amari Cooper.
Fair enough. All right. So do you feel satiated in your Cowboys chatter?
Yep. Thank you for humoring me.
That's what I'm here for. Let's talk stock watch teams. Again, we know it's May, guys. We know it's May, but like, we're excited. We're having fun. We want to talk about things that are trending up or down. Things will change. That's kind of what the stock market and fantasy markets do. Matt, give me a riser.
I think a clear riser coming out of the NFL draft. Now, you know, we weren't all that jazzed about what happened with them in the first round at draft night. You know, it was like, oh, that's interesting, weird. But the Falcons investing in their offensive line, I think actually for fantasy, strictly for fantasy, because I think you can make an argument, wow, they really should have gone a little bit harder defensive. At that defense, yeah. In the draft. But for fantasy purposes, the fact they get two offensive linemen in the first round, they invested in some offensive linemen in free agency, that was the clear weakness to me of their scoring unit, because they have great skill position players. Devonta Freeman, if he's healthy, I think it's going to be a huge, we're talking about running back rankings. I think he's going to be a huge value if he falls to like that 3-4 round turn. Because Tevin Coleman's gone and they didn't really bring in anybody of consequence. Ito Smith is nice, but they didn't bring in someone of that caliber to challenge him. So he's a great value pick to me. Julio Jones, we know, is great. Calvin Ridley, holy shit. Calvin Ridley.
Matt caught feelings real hard for
I
for
am so, after charting yeah. his rookie season, oh boy. I mean, unbelievable. I liked him coming out of college, and he was like exactly the player that anybody who watched him in college thought he would be. Gets open with ease. Great route runner. And the fact that he gets to play against, you know, softer coverage because he plays across from Julio Jones, it's a perfect fit. And I mean, he just dusted people as a rookie. I think.
Well, Mohamed Sanu, also not horrible. Like,
no.
A great ancillary piece. Austin Hooper had himself a little bit of a breakout last year. All of these things trend up for Matt Ryan, who's consistently believed to be a floor play, but I think, you know, last year was the number
ceiling.
Two
yeah.
fantasy quarterback. I think that that's interesting. I mean, if you are positioning it from a fantasy perspective, the Falcons are like an under the radar riser. My riser's not that under the radar. It's pretty obvious. Your 49ers.
My 49ers.
In fact, I think I've said this before, and I said this on the last pod, that I think the NFC West is one of the most, is the most interesting, obviously, after the AFC East, divisions in football. But when you look at, so our own Amanda Borges, who you should follow on Twitter, it's Amanda Borges, man, you got to Google that. I don't know what her Twitter is right away. But she sat down with Jimmy Garoppolo.
At A Borges TV.
There you go. At
A Borges TV.
After you follow Tank, go follow her.
Yes. She sat down with Jimmy Garoppolo, had a great interview. Garoppolo, by the way, I mean, yes, we know he's handsome, but I think he put on some weight. Like, dude looks like
little,
he put on like 15.
Thick. Birthday cake weight or like muscle?
No,
milk?
No, no. Like
not birthday cake
not
weight.
Not birthday cake okay. weight. Like filling out the black t-shirt nicely kind nice. Of weight.
It's a good look.
It is. And I think that I liked that. Her interview with him. I mean, listen, he did a lot of the like player speak, grinding film and blah, blah, blah. But he is assumedly going to be healthy. He's on pace to be healthy. They've added some great new pieces. Deebo Samuel, who, you know, I've been obviously high on, was the 36th overall pick. He's a nice, versatile player. They also added Jalen Hurd. I think will probably project to be a bit of a gadget. But this is just another Swiss Army, another tool in the Swiss Army knife of the offense that Kyle Shanahan is known for creating. Deebo, by the way, I just want to throw out, I did do a projection. I don't know why I feel like fearlessly forecasting, but I did. I'm going to give him 47 catches for 568 yards and 4 touchdowns. So maybe not that much relevance in terms of fantasy standalone, but in terms of helping his quarterback, I like it a lot. Let's not forget that Garcon is no longer there. And
Marquise Goodwin should be healthier this year. Jerick McKinnon back.
Dante Pettis started to flash towards the end of last year. And if we are talking fantasy, the 49ers went and drafted a punter in the 4th round. They did not address their cornerback situation. Akella Witherspoon, not great.
Not good. Not good. Not good.
That didn't happen. I mean, they did draft somebody in the 6th round, Tim Harris, who's out of Virginia. But if I'm looking at a deficiency in the defense, particularly the secondary, and I'm thinking that's going to mean that Jimmy G's going to have to pass a lot more, especially in a high-octane division like the NFC West, then cool. That, to me, means all the more for the 49ers and Jimmy G.
They're a fun team right now because they do mirror the Chiefs in a lot of ways to me from last year because they're I think if their offense hits, they have a ton of ways they can attack you, a lot of versatility. They have a quarterback that we both think is good. And then, yeah, on defense, they have a really bad secondary, but they have the potential to have a great pass rush.
Well, right.
I sat down with your friend, Jen Welter, yesterday for...
Oh, you did?
Yes. I meant to bring this up with you, but she was, one, incredible. Mm-hmm. So if you do decide to subscribe to Rookie Orientation, the podcast I'll be doing, she'll be on several episodes. But we sat down and watched Bosa together for...
Oh, you did?
Like,
you watched it together?
Yeah.
That's
like,
cool.
For like 15 minutes. And we were both, you know, very, very impressed with him. And...
Well, he's joining, right? He's joining Solomon Thomas.
This was our
DeForest Buckner.
This was our take because she was explaining to me the difference between like what you can see from a pass rusher that makes him that strong side end versus the weak side end. And you know, she's sitting there saying like the way he gets off the ball, the hand technique, everything like that. He's and the way he can rip an attack inside and out. You definitely want him as that strong side end. And I said, well, it's perfect fit across from a guy like Dee Ford, right? So they and the Chiefs last year, of course, were a team that had Dee Ford. They had a good strong side pass rusher in Justin Houston. And then obviously they have the 49ers have DeForest Buckner. The Chiefs had Chris Jones as an interior disruptor. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, the 2019 Chiefs. I'd really be taking the 49ers fandom seriously there. but yeah, I think there's just some potential similarities there.
So we believe that they are ascending, at least from a fantasy perspective. It will be interesting to see how the targets, I mean, I'm not touching that backfield, but I would like to see how the targets in the, among the pass catchers.
Breida.
That's, he's the best runner.
Because he's the cheapest, too. He's going to be the cheapest one.
Yeah,
no one's going to
touch him. No, don't bother.
If someone gets hurt.
Yeah, but wait, why would you do that like week one of your draft?
Yeah, that's fair enough. Best ball drafts or something, which...
We have coming.
Also, it's funny, we made it through this whole conversation about the 49ers offense. We didn't bring up that they have probably one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end in the NFL, George Kittle. So
the best after-the-catch athlete in the NFL.
Period.
Talk about fallers.
Faller for me, I think, is the Packers.
Is it because Aaron Rodgers didn't buy his girlfriend a drink at the damn Milwaukee Bucks game and
is that on your radar?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, because I was having a chat in our group chat last night, and Alex was like, this isn't a big deal. I don't understand why people are talking about it. And I was like, well, I've seen like 30 people talking about it on Twitter. But shout out to David Bakhtiari in the same game. Did you see one? Chugged just two beers. And like, those didn't look like Miller Lights to me. Those looked like some heavy
thick
beers.
Crafty sort of something.
I was impressed.
Spotted Cow, by the way. This is the second time I'm going to reference that beer. It's a local Wisconsin beer. It's excellent. I don't even like light craft beer.
It's solid.
Oh, you've had it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised.
But yeah, the Packers to me, because, and maybe this is unfair, and if we just trust that Matt LaFleur comes in and him and Aaron Rodgers gel, great. You know, the offense, I know Aaron was on the timeline recently in some video that was saying, you know, he's like, well, it's great. You know, they show you all the explosive plays from the offense. Like, they show you a highlight reel and all the potential, you know, this and that or the other. So maybe the system gels, he flows right into it, and it's great. However, they really did not add very many pieces to the skill position group. I mean, they – so maybe there's some potential for value here alongside, obviously, Davante Adams. We have the three rookies from last year returning, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, and they did add Sternberger in the draft, right? Like, so there is something there in terms of pass catchers, but it's just him and Jimmy Graham in the tight end room. So,
and that dude's washed.
Yeah, and he's washed. So, like, along with Aaron Jones, I mean, it's just really the same cast of characters coming back from last year. And
Jamal Williams.
And I honestly think you can make the argument that this is the worst receiving core that Aaron Rodgers has ever worked with in his time as a starter.
I'm looking at it right now.
Unless one of these three guys just really...
Well, he doesn't have a... He has no safety valve.
No.
Without Cobb there either. I mean, he does like Gmo a lot. Like, you know...
And Geronimo Allison, I forgot to bring up. Yeah, he's still there. He got hurt midway through last year.
But he's also a player that... You know how Rodgers, like, picks his guys? And it is a real obvious thing. So he's always been high on Gmo. So maybe that becomes the, like, secondary security blanket, but there is no... I imagine Gmo's like going to fly into the slot, right?
Well, Marquez Valdes-Scantling played like big slot for a bit last year, so there's some potential for that. But on, I will say, to stick up for Rodgers for a second on the whole like picks his favorites thing, because I think it's worth pointing out, like, because he's been getting obviously a ton of flack for this recently, especially all the Jeff Janis truthers will never let you forget that, like, he really like ruined Jeff Janis.
Jared Aberderis.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean,
hashtag
so,
dad. He created the dad bod hashtag.
I will just say to Rodgers' defense, one guy that he stuck up for even when he was like the worst receiver in the league was Davante Adams, who's now become one of the absolute best elite studs of the league. So maybe that's a good sign for Geronimo Allison, who has all this opportunity ahead of him.
All right. Well, I think the point there, though, is to look for value. Like, this could be an opportunity for value, and that's where we should pin it and focus on, rather than the offense falling or not.
Well, it's just there's potential for value. We just don't know where it's going to come from yet. But let's talk about your follower, because kind of some big news here for your follower.
So I had this prepared before the news broke.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor were both cut by the Seattle Seahawks, obviously synonymous with the Legion of Boom era of Seahawks, the 2015 Super Bowl champions.
Both with failed physical designations, of
correct.
Course.
Correct. We knew this was coming, right? This isn't a giant surprise.
Yeah, I guess I thought that he would retire before they would cut him. So the Chancellor thing, I feel like we've
since 2017
we've let him go long ago. So that's just them getting him off the books or whatever. But Baldwin is interesting, because I would have thought he would just retire. Does this mean maybe he tries to come back with another team? I would think it means his career is over. But the fact that they cut him with the failed physical designation, and that he just doesn't come out and he didn't come in outright, you know, retire as a Seahawk, a beloved player there on and off the field, a huge success story as an undrafted free agent. I remember when he first popped on the scene, it was like he was a Stanford guy, you know, making plays for the Seahawks while Stanford Jim Harbaugh is across the street coaching the 49ers. And that was like a talking point.
Well,
in
his connection, I mean, when Richard Sherman was there, like that, there was a brotherhood, which is perfect for a Pete Carroll coach team, right? Because it's the college rah-rah thing. Mm-hmm. And like what happens after 3 to 4 years, you graduate and you move on because you get sick of everyone barking at you. Although looking back, I should have stayed in college for many more years had I been able to afford it, because the real world, kids, is a different place.
I was at college today.
You were. You want to talk about your other podcast again?
No, that's okay.
Do you have enough? Should we?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So we know that Baldwin is not going to be on the Seahawks. We know that there are holes here. Baldwin spent roughly about 60% of his time in the slot, averaged when he was healthy, around 7 targets per game.
Yep.
That's 90 to 100 targets vacated.
That's about where he would land. You know, he was a triple digit target guy for several seasons. So there's a lot of opportunity here theoretically available.
For
Tyler Lockett. Mm. Come on, Liz.
Well, first of all, you don't have to preach to me about Tyler Lockett. I think you're hitting on the wrong position.
Well, there's opportunity available
for Rashad Penny.
For Rashad Penny? Yeah. Go ahead. Please sell me on this.
So, first let's talk. I think everyone's going to immediately pivot to DK Metcalf. So let's just go in some sort of order here.
Okay.
Tyler Lockett has the versatility to move around. I'm not denying that, right? But he did spend most of his time outside. When he was most effective, I mean, you probably charted him 3 times last Wednesday. So.
His sample has been logged. It's great, by the way. It's real and it's fantastic. But yeah, he was like a 50.8% player in the slot last year. So he did, because obviously Doug Baldwin's was missing hurt. Games, but even in 2017, they would use him inside a little bit too. So I think that's a major, if we're talking about worrying. And we are talking about worrying about regression, whatever, which we know is coming, like yards per target, like touchdowns per target, whatever. We know that's coming for Tyler Lockett, but boom and consistency can come from playing inside more, being used on shorter routes, which of course I think he can run, and also just the massive loss of a player like Doug Baldwin, volume wise. But of course, yeah, the trickle down is more interesting because I think more people, we know that we're drafting Tyler Lockett this year.
Oh, of course, Natch.
And if you're not, just unsubscribe from the podcast now.
No, don't do that. Please don't do that. Do you know how much I have to hear about subscribing to the podcast? Please do not do that. So I think people are going to be like, oh, that DK Metcalf. Like, right? They drafted a guy. I mean, there's DK Metcalf. It's not, I don't think he is polished enough. Like, this could be a Kevin White situation. He's not polished. Wow. I know you've got these feels for this guy.
Wow.
But like, if you're into go routes on a team that likes to run the ball, you got a problem here. I'm not saying that it isn't an eventuality. The same way it was with Lockett. How many years did it take this guy to finally turn over in this offense, even with a different offensive coordinator and behind a continually shuffling offensive line? Like, I think that if you look at the backfield and you think, I know what Chris Carson does.
Yep.
Right? Rashad Penny underwhelmed last year. There's no doubt about it. What is he great? He's great at. He's a quality route runner. He has great hands. He's capable. Can there be some, like, I'm going to use like a really cheap comp here just for the sake of understanding everything. Can he have some Theo Riddick crossover here? Can he be worked as a pass caster? Can he be used as a slot receiver in time? I think so. To me, that means Penny stock is going up. That's the trickle I'm interested in. Yes, it's a deep position, but I think he can definitely be within the top, I don't know, 30 running backs.
And to be fair to Rashad Penny, obviously, yes, he underwhelmed from like a bottom line fantasy perspective because people hyped him up way too high. And
Brad Evans.
I wasn't going to say it, but, you know, people forget Brad Evans hyped up Royce Freeman way too high. I mean, well, everybody knows you hyped up Royce Freeman way too high, but don't forget about Rashad Penny.
True story. I met Rashad Penny at the NFLPA rookie event.
Yeah.
And I took a video. I asked him to do a video talking to Brad.
Oh, how sweet.
I know. I'm adorable. and he was like, I'm going to kill it for you in fantasy. And then I like sent it to Brad and he has always remembered it. And now I will throw it in his face.
I will note, though, like several times when Rashad Penny got, you know, eight or nine carries a game in games last year. He did well on those touches, on limited looks. He did produce. Like, he had that, obviously, that one blow-up game against the Rams where he went 12, 108, and a touchdown. But there's, like, 8 for 46, 7, 65, and a touch, 8 for 44, 9 for 49. I mean, there are several games where when he got looks, he added an explosive element. So I think, to lend credence to your argument, there's opportunity here, and maybe they do see a bit more of a split backfield, whatever. And maybe that just leads you to not draft Chris Carson, even if you don't want to draft Rashad Penny.
I'll take that, too. Did you want to talk about DK Metcalf, given the situation?
Well, I mean, I think that if they're excited about him. Look, Pete Carroll he's bringing out the hype trumpet. Like
taking off his T-shirt.
Yeah, he's popping off the T-shirt.
You know what? No, I was going to say something. I'm really impressed with your confidence. Good for you.
Let me say, when I interviewed DK Metcalf, he popped his shirt off. I left mine on because, you know, Pete, I'm a professional. But anyways, So I think that DK Metcalf obviously has opportunity to be the wide receiver two in this offense. But if he doesn't, it's worth remembering David Moore flashed last year as a player for them.
So I think the DK Metcalf draft was the like nail in the David Moore coffin.
Potentially. I agree with you that he could be. And also, let's not forget they drafted Moore. They drafted Gary Jennings as well. They drafted other wide receivers this past year. So clearly there are guys that can usurp a player like David Moore. I'm just saying that he's a name worth remembering that if DK Metcalf does go a little bit of Kevin White or something, you know, then yeah, then there are other players here. But really, we're hoping that Metcalf wins that wide receiver two job because I think he's a great fit in the offense.
You just beat your hands on the table. I don't know if anyone heard that, but it was almost like you were mimicking a drum beat, which is kind of a theory you have in general. Would you like to explain it?
So the drum beat, and we said several times in this podcast, look, we get it. It's May, right? Like, this is not real yet. However, I think the way, and this is a credit to my fantasy football media fathers, Sigmund Bloom, Cecil Lammy, those guys at the Audible will always say that when you're studying off season, it's important to look for the drum beat. Like, it's not this one, like, you're not going to go draft a guy off one RotoWorld blurb, you know, like, oh, this guy, he's killed in a practice, let me go draft him. What you want to hear is a steady ascending drum beat. You know, it starts in mini camps, it gets louder in training camp, it goes out and becomes a reality on the field in preseason. These are the things you want to look for when you're looking for offseason sleepers, you know, risers up the draft board, whatever, guys you're excited to be breakout players, all that. So that's the drum beat theory.
You have a player?
I have two players, actually, and one of them, I think you'll be stunned at this, Liz. But I said this, you know, to myself, because look, this is another thing when it comes to the drum beat. Remove your feelings and emotions from it and look at it from a fact-based perspective. And one player that I'm not saying, we're talking right now just the early signs and like maybe these guys become drum beat players, because this is another important point. If you start to hear it in minicamp and then in training camp it fizzles out, you back away.
Right,
There's no optimism to have here. But one guy that I think we should watch out for is Ronald Jones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Heartbreaker.
He broke your heart last year, Liz.
He did.
However.
And I did not back away, which was my fault.
So many times I felt like, look, this was early on in us working together. I know you didn't necessarily like me. That was one way to say it. But I feel like there were many times I tried to be like, Liz, don't do this. Like, don't die on this hill. And you're like, I'm dying on this hill.
So many deaths.
Anyway, so Ronald Jones, a god-awful rookie year. I mean, it can't really go worse. However, it's worth noting that the Bucs have done nothing to their backfield other than add Rich Rebar's favorite player, Kerwin Williams, bringing the Arizona game back. I think they've also got Andre Ellington in that backfield. So Bruce Arians really bringing all his boys in there. However, Jason Light praised Ronald Jones, said that no player impressed the new coaching staff more than Ronald Jones. Again, he could fall behind Peyton Barber and be a total, you know, piece of dust this year and just be irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
He's not going to fall behind Peyton Barber.
Well, he did last year.
No.
Well, I mean, what
they
is this?
They didn't have
is
a backfield.
Is this 2018 right now? You're doing it again. I'm just saying there's a potential for him to be absolutely nothing. But the fact that there's some positive news here and the fact that they didn't add anybody to their backfield of any significance. And Ronald Jones, and this is the difference between this year and last year. Ronald Jones is dirt ass cheap right now. So, hey, it's worth a shot.
I mean, I like it. I feel like this is like you just gave me a Christmas present. Thank you. I feel great about it.
You know,
I have him in Dynasty.
There you go.
Now I'm not going to get rid of him.
Consider this your birthday present.
Thank you. In 6 months from now, did you had another player
and another one that I know you don't like is James Washington.
I didn't say I didn't like him. I didn't like him last year. I didn't think he was going to produce as a rookie.
Right, which he didn't. He was, the scary part about him is he was like a game day healthy scratch, you know, a couple of times. And then when he would get opportunity, he wouldn't do that much with it.
But there have been some obvious shifts in the receiving core in Pittsburgh. And so now James Washington has more of an opportunity.
Yeah, so as opposed to betting last year that like he might scratch some sort of bit of the rotation, dig into guys like Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster, which some of us, me, said incorrectly last year. Instead of making that bet this year, you're making the bet that, okay, he's going to beat out Dante Moncrief. He's going to beat out Deontay Johnson, the rookie they drafted this year.
Eli Rogers.
Ryan Switzer, piece, you know, whatever. But is Justin Hunter still on this roster? Anyways, point being, now you're making that bet. You're also making it cheaper. So, again, early drumbeat player, listen to what's coming out of Pittsburgh when it comes to James Washington. When we get into camps and everything like that, pay attention. Is he running with the starters or is he running behind Dante Moncrief? Like, he's a player that could be a serious breakout guy as on a team that wants to throw the ball a lot.
I don't hate that one. I think Ronald Jones is much more intriguing.
Of course you do.
But those are two names to keep in mind. I have one along the same lines as Ronald Jones. I'm a little bit worried that it's going to turn into a hashtag BSOHL situation, which your friend, I believe, Marcus Grant coined.
So best shape of your life, baby.
Right, best shape of his life. It's Donta Foreman. Because when I look at the Texans draft, so I will admit, immediately after the draft, I sort of didn't look at the Texans draft because I was like, "What did they have one? What happened here?
It's like everybody talked about how they got jumped for Andre Dillard by the Eagles and then was like, well, just take another tackle and then that's it.
Shrug emoji. Like, well, I don't know. And how often do rookie tackles struggle, right? Like, I think we're all guilty of being like, well, they drafted a tackle. Great. Does that mean it's going to work? No. That is an O-line that Bill O'Brien does not seem to be able to coach up. He doesn't seem to be able to fix it. It is his
bugaboo.
Sure. Bugaboo. But when I look at Donta Foreman and I look at Lamar Miller, Lamar Miller was productive-ish.
He's fine.
Enough.
He's fine.
Do I think he's going to stay healthy again? Do I think that he's going to have the same volume? No. I know that Foreman is coming off of an Achilles. He missed basically all of last year, save week 16, which he did ironically score in. And the current reports are the most immediate reports out of camp. And I do think it was interesting that this one came April 22nd, just 2 days before the draft, which might have been, looking back, a little bit of a hint about what they were or were not going to do in the draft. Here was the quote. We think he's a very talented guy. Big can. This is from Bill O'Brien. We think he's a very talented guy. Big, can run, can catch the ball in the backfield. Very instinctive, tough runner. We're expecting him to come back ready to go. And we've heard that's going to be the case. He's working hard and we're looking forward to see him back in the building. So again, this is like a tiny thrum.
Little.
Just a tiny thrum. You know, like I'm hearing it. It's a heartbeat of a drumbeat. And maybe it grows or maybe it doesn't, but this would be an opportunity. And again, I think your point earlier was excellent. Maybe this isn't about Donta Foreman. Maybe this is about not overpaying for Lamar Miller.
Who, to be fair, is pretty cheap right now, but we'll see what happens.
He's going to, you know, there's going to be the like, but look at the volume narrative. And he's going to shoot up the draft boards and people are going to forget. And they're going to.
He will go as running back 15 and he will finish as running back 15 and like whoop-de-doo.
And that's it. And that, by the way, is it for us.
Well, we have one situation to address before we leave. And I tweeted out that we have a voicemail hotline. Which I would read the number, but I just shut my laptop.
That would be 888-85-YAHOO or 888-859-2466.
Well, we got some voicemails this week.
We did.
Brett reported the news to me. Producer Brett, by the way. Reported the news to me that we had, 100?
100 plus.
100 plus voicemails. I noted that a few people I follow on Twitter and interacted with the tweet of the voicemail. And so I had some suspicions about who it might be. Brett played the voicemail for me, and I can confirm that it was Matt Waldman.
He played many of the voicemails.
He played many of the voicemails, and I can confirm each one was Matt Waldman. Now, listen, Waldman, two things. One, Brett is not going to, has told me he will not play any of these voicemails out of
principle
I believe it was.
Because producer Brett is dadding you real hard.
Yes. So we cannot play any of these voicemails under threat of whatever from Brett. I'll say this. Look, I'm glad you have all this time on your hands because rookie scouting portfolio is done. Good for you. But I've seen the state of your office that you just moved into in this new house. Maybe get your shit together, fix your home, and don't call this voicemail line again unless you have a real question. And I can't tell you if you have a real question or not in one of these hundreds because Brett won't even let me hear most of them. So good waste of time on the voicemail hotline. I love you, Matt. And please, other people call in with real questions.
Also, if you have organizational questions, I mean, I've used bins and a label maker in my life.
Yes, if you have questions on how to construct your office.
Make a workflow situation. Ask Liz.
Ask Liz and I'll be here to
to nod to and say she's right.
To contribute.
Seriously, though, leave a message for us next week. We will be back 1 week. We're back in the regular rotation. The number is 888-859-2466. That's 888-859-2466. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. Go subscribe to the podcast. Just subscribe. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a loser. We're nice. Available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. If you're enjoying this banter, leave a nice five-star
review. There are many reviews from back when yours truly was not producing this podcast. Now the podcast is different.
There's different hosts. I'm sure Harmon's already angling for my job. So
what
that'll probably continue
that?
To change.
We're both hosting the podcast together.
Uh-huh.
I don't want anything other than that. We've had a nice podcast. We've agreed with each other several times. Why does it have to end on this sour note?
That's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
You can follow Matt on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. You can follow me at @LizLoza_FF. And we'll be back next week. Subscribe. Yeah.